Chapter 7. Monday, April 11th to Tuesday, April 12th. At 5:45 p.m. on Monday, Blomqvist closed the lid on his iBook and got up from the kitchen table in his apartment on Bellmansgarten. He put on a jacket and walked to Milton Security's offices in Slusen. He took the elevator up to the reception on the fourth floor and was immediately shown into a conference room. It was 6 p.m. on the dot, but he was the last to arrive.
"Hello, Dragon," he said and shook hands. "Thank you for being willing to host this informal meeting."
Blomqvist looked around the room. There were four others there. His sister, Salander's former guardian Holger Palmgren, Malin Eriksson, and former criminal inspector Sonny Bowman, who now worked for Milton Security. At Armansky's instruction, Bowman had been following the Salander investigation from the start. Palmgren was on his first outing in more than 2 years. Dr. Sivanandan of the Efsta Rehabilitation Home had been less than enchanted at the idea of letting him out, but Palmgren himself had insisted. He had come by special transport for the disabled, accompanied by his personal assistant and trainer, Johanna Karolina Oskarsson, whose salary was paid from a fund that had been mysteriously established to provide Palmgren with the best possible care. Oskarsson was sitting in an office next to the conference room. She had brought a book with her. Blomqvist closed the door behind him. "For those of you who haven't met her before, this is Malin Eriksson, Millennium's editor-in-chief. I asked her to be here because what we're going to discuss will also affect her job."
"Okay," Armansky said. "Everyone's here. I'm all ears."
Blomqvist stood at Armansky's whiteboard and picked up a marker. He looked around. "This is probably the craziest thing I've ever been involved with," he said. "When this is all over, I'm going to found an association called the Knights of the Idiotic Table, and its purpose will be to arrange an annual dinner where we will tell stories about Lisbeth Salander. You're all members." He paused. "So this is how things really are," he said, and he began to make a list of headings on Armansky's whiteboard. He talked for a good 30 minutes. Afterwards, the discussion went on for almost 3 hours. Gulberg sat down next to Clinton when their meeting was over. They spoke in low voices for a few minutes before Gulberg stood up. The old comrades shook hands. Gulberg took a taxi to Frey's, packed his briefcase and checked out. He took the late afternoon train to Göteborg. He chose first class and had the compartment to himself. When he passed Orstabron, he took out a ballpoint pen and a notepad. He thought for a long while and then began to write. He filled half a page before he stopped and tore the sheet off the pad. Forged documents had never been his department or his expertise, but here the task was simplified by the fact that the letters he was writing would be signed by him. What complicated the issue was that not a word of what he was writing was true. By the time the train went through Nyköping, he had already discarded a number of drafts, but he was starting to get a sense for how the letters should be phrased. When they arrived in Göteborg, he had 12 letters he was satisfied with. He made sure he had left clear fingerprints on each sheet. At Göteborg Central Station, he tracked down a photocopier and made copies of the letters. Then he bought envelopes and stamps and posted the letters in a box with a 9 p.m. collection. Gulberg took a taxi to City Hotel on Lorenzbergsgarten, where Clinton had already booked a room for him. It was the same hotel Blomqvist had spent the night in several days before. He went straight to his room and sat on the bed. He was completely exhausted and realized that he had eaten only 2 slices of bread all day. Yet he was not hungry. He undressed, stretched out in bed, and fell asleep almost at once. Salander woke with a start when she heard the door open. She knew right away that it was not one of the night nurses. She opened her eyes to 2 narrow slits and saw a silhouette with crutches in the doorway. Zalachenko was watching her in the light that came from the corridor. Without moving her head, she glanced at the digital clock. 3:10 a.m. She then glanced at the bedside table and saw the water glass. She calculated the distance. She could just reach it without having to move her body. It would take a few seconds to stretch out her arm and break off the rim of the glass with a firm rap against the hard edge of the table. It will take 1/2 a second to shove the broken edge into Zalachenko's throat if he leaned over her. She She looked for other options, but the glass was her only reachable weapon. She relaxed and waited. Zalachenko stood in the doorway for 2 minutes without moving, then gingerly he closed the door. She heard the faint scraping of the crutches as he quietly retreated down the corridor. 5 minutes later she propped herself on her right elbow, reached for the glass and took a long drink of water. She swung her legs over the edge of the bed. With effort she stood up, pulled the electrodes off her arms and chest, and swayed unsteadily. It took her a few seconds to gain control over her body. She hobbled to the door and leaned against the wall to catch her breath. She was in a cold sweat. Then she turned icy with rage.
"Fuck you, Zalachenko. Let's end this right here and now."
She needed a weapon. The next moment she heard quick heels clacking in the corridor.
"Shit, the electrodes."
"What in God's name are you doing up?" the night nurse said.
"I had to go to the toilet," Salander said breathlessly.
"Get back into bed at once."
She took Salander's hand and helped her into the bed. Then she got a bedpan.
"When you have to go to the toilet, just ring for us. That's what this button is for."